Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 39 of the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast. Tonight, joined by Mike and by Graham. How are you both doing, gentlemen?
Not bad. Look at this, Bri. Like, there's two things that come into play when me and you are together. It means good thing, means draft season, Joe, but it also means that for definite, the Cowboys season has ended.
I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
Coming strong, mate. Coming strong.
Oh, and of course, Joe is straight in with the comments. And as always, Joe, and anyone else who is watching, please do not be afraid to comment and give us your thoughts, give us your opinions. Kellen Moore is back in our division. Couldn't happen to a nicer team.
Wow. Wow. That's all we can say to that is wow.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gray, of that, Gray?
I mean, I don't know. He seems to do fairly well with high-powered offenses, but there's always he's always going to drop the ball sooner or later. Like I made a joke in our private chat. I said, you know, they could be fourth and goal on the 1 yard line with the second left on the clock and the swirling snow in Philadelphia, and Kellen Moore calls I formation a fade to Goddard at the back pylon, and Jalen Hurts just, you know, you can hear it, you know, he's in the headset and he just looks over at the sideline and thinks, is he for real? check, we're getting out of this one. I wish I could say good luck to the guy, but obviously not. He's in the division now, so you know, two teams have decided that Kellen Moore isn't head coach material. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to criticize the guy too much. You know, yeah, like he led us to some good games. Mm-hmm. But I don't see him winning a Super Bowl ring anytime soon. And he's not going to win one with the Eagles.
Not a chance. But I don't know if two of you have been keeping up, because Mike, I can see from your timeline, you're full on in Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl games.
Oh yeah.
But Jerry and Stephen have been talking to the media in the last 90 minutes or so. They're giving the usual spiel that we get at this time of the year. We're going to do something different. This can't go on the way it has been. You know, give us thoughts, give us opinions.
Go on, Gray, I'll let you go first.
It's like every single year. Every single year, that if there's an opportunity to make a splash, they will make a splash. It's as simple as that. With Mazi Smith, you probably don't call that a splash, if we're honest. But was there going to be a skill position as an alternative? I'm not sure there was. I think, if I remember correctly, last year was a bit dry for wide receiver. You know, guys like, you know, Jonathan Mingo, for instance, they had gone. I mean, to my knowledge, the wide receiver group from this year hasn't been particularly special. I couldn't name you one of them, to be perfectly honest, that's, you know, gone on to lead their team in receptions or touchdowns or whatever. You know, like running back. You know, is there going to be a running back at 24? I think if there's a running back at 24, they seriously think about it. But like you guys are saying, you don't see it. I haven't heard of one. Mm-hmm. So, you never know. There,
that's going to sting for Brian May, who's a Texas fan.
Yeah. No, it's not going to sting at all. I'm on record. I don't think there's a running back in this class worth taking before the end of the second.
Mike put up a poll. You remember on Twitter a couple, was it days or weeks ago, Mike? You said, what is the biggest need on the Cowboys team as it stands right now? And I said running back, because quite simply, as it stands today, the Cowboys do not have a number one or a number two running back, in my opinion, signed. Yeah. They could obviously say to Tony Pollard, yep, I don't know why they would say it, but they might say, yep, Tony, we liked what you did last year. We're going to bring you in on the franchise tag at 125 or whatever it is percent again this year. Mm. Extremely doubt that they will, but they could. But as things stand, Tony Pollard is not a Dallas Cowboy. So they really have to address that decision at that position. I don't know if they'll do it in the draft. They might bring in somebody. I've heard stories that Derrick Henry has been touted about. Is he too old? Is he a declining player? That's another question. But if you want to go fresh, you obviously do it in the draft. But do we have bigger fish to fry? And can we not just get by with somebody? It's extremely tempting to just try and get by with somebody. But if you go running back day one, day two, you've obviously got them for the next 4 years, which is tempting.
So Joe was saying he'd still like to bring in Derrick Henry and draft a running back in the fourth. Joe, unfortunately, we don't have a fourth round draft pick. Mm-hmm. That draft pick is currently Trey Lance. But Mike, I was reading your article on Blogging the Boys there this evening, and you had a little piece on Derrick Henry. So if you want to give us a few thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a very... It's going to sound like the opinion that I'm giving you is like a little rough towards the Cowboys front office, but it's very much a typical sort of Cowboys move. When you think of like Run DMC, when they did it with Darren McFadden, he's at the tail end of his career. He had a really big career. You can get him for cheaper than what it would be to keep a guy, you know, like, so back then it was DeMarco Murray. He's now, you know, similar thing with Tony Pollard in different, but in a sort of different version of, but you can get Derrick Henry cheaper than you can Tony Pollard. Run DMs. So he's a stopgap for just like the 1 year that you can load it. You can give him like a little bit extra in guaranteed money and then just load it with incentives. So then, if he comes off, if it works, okay, you get paid, but then obviously it's worked, so he's done you the job. So it makes you look like a genius. If it doesn't, it didn't cost you much. You put a little bit of extra guarantee, then we'll then load it up with incentives. You don't hit, you don't strike it. It didn't come to pass. It's more of a stopgap that, well, the idea is you don't want to, especially with running back, because one of the other players I put was a linebacker. So I don't like the idea of that the Cowboys have got a first, a second, a third, then it drops off. There's no fourth, as you mentioned. Then they've got their compensatory picks in the fifth. So like that side of it all, I want guys with upside, which means that the early draft picks, I need to try and do as much as I can with my roster that I'm not pigeonholing myself to, right, picks 1, 2, and 3 have to be ABC. So the idea is I don't want to use an early draft pick for a running back or a linebacker. So let's fill that void now and not have to worry about that, you know, having to go down the road. So that was the idea. That there are other running backs available. You know, like you could say Saquon Barkley, but then there's the injury history. Sure, Derrick Henry has the injury history too. You got Josh Jacobs, but he's definitely tailed right off. I think from his big year he had for the Raiders, you know, the treads come right off the tire on him there. Yeah. There's a couple of other guys as well. You know, you got Gus the Bus. You know, he could be, you know, I mean, he could be worth it. Do you know what I mean? He could be worth a little try, a little... But, you know, he probably stays where he is. So, yeah, that is more of... But Derrick Henry is that typical Cowboys free agent move. We could just get him at the tail end of his career. His yards per carry have gone down each of the last few years. Just has it emulates everything that they did with Darren McFadden.
Yeah. I think it backs up what I say a lot of the time. The Titans are not getting rid of Derrick Henry because he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. He is not the superstar of, you know, 2018. He's not that player anymore. And that's why the Titans are moving on.
Yeah.
I still haven't, I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I still haven't given up on the fact, or the, not the hope, but the thought that Tony Pollard is a Cowboy next year.
Yeah.
I don't see a queue at the door for Tony Pollard. When you like, Mike's just round off a list of names there. Teams are not paying running back. They're not paying unless your name's Christian McCaffrey. They are not paying them. And that's why we saw the big kerfuffle at the start of the season. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, these guys that were coming to the end of the deal, they were basically ready to say, we're not playing for this cap number. I still think Tony Pollard could be a well paid is number two a bit harsh?
No. He's spot on.
He is a number two. When it all boils, he's a number two, isn't he? He's a change of pace.
Yes. That as a scat back, you know, change of pace back, scat, whatever version of him that you feel that he can be, is exactly what he is. And I think what last season has proven is the limitations of Tony Pollard. Not that he's not a good running back, but there are limitations to him. And the limitations simply are that he's not built to be an every down back, is simply put. But what he is what we've seen when they do have a bell cow bully running back, is he's a fantastic, one of the best. You know, like when Zeke and Pollard on their last season were together, that was dynamic. They were both really, really good, and they were both used very, very efficiently in the correct way that they should have been. And I hate to say it, but it was the thunder and lightning effect. And that is what Tony Pollard is.
Yeah. When the Cowboys go two scores up, 10 points up, whatever you want to call it, there are a few better than Tony Pollard that split them out wide, you know, swing passes, all that kind of stuff. We don't need to go for the dirty yards because we're the pressure's off, we have the lead, we don't have to go up the middle all the time. It's when you need that, you know, third and two, third and three, you need the first down. It especially between the tackles, it just wasn't there.
No. Yeah. Like, if we flick back to Derrick Henry, and Mike, you kind of made the point in terms of, it's a Dallas Cowboys type move. I mean, this is what the Dallas Cowboys always do before the draft. Yep. They fill every position so that they don't have to draft for position, that they can literally go in. They can take a CeeDee Lamb when he falls to you at 17, as Micah Parsons after you've traded down with your biggest rival and picked up an extra third round pick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do. So seeing a Derrick Henry in a Dallas Cowboys uniform next year or in this offseason, no one should be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise. The only thing, Jerry. Well, Stevens made comments today at the Senior Bowl about, the doubt that fans have in them, rightly so. And Jerry has now turned around and said, look, I'm not planning for the future. I'm planning to win now, which says a number of things, you know, through that comment. But it's the trouble is, I need to see it to believe it. That's my take on it. It's all well and good saying it.
Go on, G.
That's just... each get play repeat. I mean,
yeah.
You know, fine.
I mean, like, I think, Mike, I think you've kind of nailed it in this, you know, they'll talk the talk. And, you know, my thoughts this time last year were, yeah, they'll talk the talk. They said this kind of talk last year. And then they actually went out and made a couple of smart moves in terms of going after Stephon Gilmore, going after Brandon Cooks, and using some of those later compensatory end of round type picks, you know, to
Ronald Jones as well.
Yeah, Ronald Jones, like just to flesh out that roster. And like the Cowboys really at the minute can't afford to go out and do what they're suggesting.
Yeah.
Because they're in, it's not that they're in cap hell.
It's coming up.
Yeah. There's very quickly levers that can be pulled, and I'm gonna mention Graham's most favorite word in the whole English dictionary.
I have come to terms with 2 weeks ago, Brian. Please don't make it anything worse. I know you're gonna just go ahead and say it.
There will be veteran restructures in terms of, you know, Mike, in terms of Marcus Lawrence, Zach Martin, Trayvon Diggs. And then you have the big three, you know, in terms of Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, you know, to get you money. But the Cowboys can't go and make the moves that they're talking about if they don't have that money. So, That's what you're going to have to see happening first. There's also, and Mike, I think you alluded to this earlier as well, is there's a few decisions that need to be made. You know, Leighton Van Der Esch, is he going to be able to play? Can they keep Cooper Rush around, or do they move on and go, Trey Lance is here, he's our fourth round pick this year, you know, and we're going to see what we have with him. And those are the kind of decisions which are going to free up cap.
On the Cooper Rush, I've just had a quick play on over the cap. By cutting Cooper Rush, they save $2.2 million. That's 10% of our deficit.
Well, here's one for you, Gray. They save $12 million by releasing Michael Gallup.
But that won't be until post June 1.
Yeah. Depending which way they flip it, you know.
Yeah. And like,
there's plenty of option.
There's lots of options. Like I'm doing an article at the minute, and Graham and Rich are helping me with this one.
Nice.
But I mean, Brian Anger, I'm loath to say it. Brian Anger could release $3 million if he went for a new younger punter. I'm not saying I want to do it, but it could happen.
Yeah. But it feels like we're trimming around the fat.
Mm.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush, $2 million. Brian Anger, $3 million. We need to go after a big ticket item.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how we do it.
Yeah,
but there are some huge, and I mean huge, cap numbers. I don't claim to be a cap wizard in any means, but you can't ignore Dak Prescott, $60 million.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one.
Yeah,
Zach Martin, $28 million. DeMarcus Lawrence, $20 million.
Yeah,
That's almost $100 million on three players.
Yeah.
That's not good. I mean, you don't have to be an NFL fan to know that spending almost $100 million on three players during one particular season, that's not good.
Yeah.
And you want it, I mean, certainly they could, if they redid CeeDee Lamb, they could get that number down.
Yeah.
Um,
for sure.
Trayvon Diggs, they can't touch. They've only just done that. So that would be cap hell. Michael Gallup, I mean, do you know, there was a stat came out before the wild card game. Most of the listeners will probably have heard it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yep.
The Green Bay Packers wide receiver core, the Green Bay Packers wide receivers made just over $7
million
the entire season, right? Yep. That, you know, that wide receiver core that carved us up during the wild card game, almost $7 million for the whole lot of them. The guy they let walk, Alan Lazard, made 12. And we barely saw him. You know, there needs to be a step where we're going, right, somebody's making 12, somebody's making 13. Are we getting a return for that money? And I don't know about you guys, but there's very few that make over $10 million that I can hang my hat on and go, yep, he had a fantastic season. Michael Gallup, for instance, like you said, Mike, that has to be tempting.
Uh-huh.
Same with Brandon Cooks, you know. That's why I've said they should cut.
Brandon Cooks, $10 million. Did we get $10 million out of Brandon Cooks?
There you go.
Did we get $12, $13 million out of Michael Gallup? No chance. No chance.
And Brandon Cooks is going to be like 32 next year.
Yeah.
Do you want a 32-year-old wide receiver that didn't even make 700 yards? And the big one for me, and I'm not blaming, right? It's a big one that people misconstrued, is I'm not blaming Brandon Cooks for the wild card game. Far from it. But when CeeDee Lamb went into his lull at the start of the game, Dak went to Brandon Cooks and said, here you go. And what did Brandon Cooks do? He made 6 receptions for 47 yards. That's not a double digit $1 million wide receiver two. You know, like, your wide receiver two needs to be there when your primary target is having a bad day.
Yeah. And don't forget, he was responsible for the first interception.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know.
So we're going.
You know,
so
Yeah. salary cap hell isn't here just yet, but it's in the post.
I would slightly disagree in terms of this year. It's not hell. It's very easy to get.
This is your last chance. Yeah.
It's your last chance.
Yeah.
There's 95 million in cap space right now in 2025. That they can back end money into, but they've got to back end that money in knowing, right, as Mike kind of said, you're attacking, you're going for a Derrick Henry with a 1 or 2 year deal, you're going for a Devin White that's going to give you an impact, you're going to go for, as Jamie is saying here in the comments, you're going to go for that big fat run stuffer who's actually going to plug the middle of the defensive line. And that's what you're going to do, that you're going to push the chips in. Do I believe they're going to do this? I'm not sure. I see it.
Yeah, no. I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
So just had another quick play there. I made Michael Gallup, Brandon Cooks, and Cooper Rush post-June cuts.
So you spread it.
It got rid of the deficit.
You redo
one of the big tickets, and that brings in your rookie class.
Yeah.
So either way, Dak's getting extended. That's what you have to understand. Fans are gonna say, not all fans, but Cowboys Nation is divided, literally down the middle, and the part that don't like Dak are gonna hit the roof. But they have to understand that there is no choice. The way the contract was drawn up this way, and it was done.
I am yet to hear a decent alternative.
Yeah.
Well, there is a decent alternative. It's, but unfortunately, it's ripped the Band-Aid. It really is. And the alternative, and it will speak in volumes if you see it, is for them to do nothing with Dak's contract, that they sit on it. If they sit on it this year and they chew up that $59 million, that's them saying, this is your last year.
Sorry, I mean in terms of who's under center.
Oh, right.
So like right, okay, you let Dak play on his $60 million and you let him walk out the door. Bearing in mind that he's gonna cost you $36 million on next year's cap, he's not even here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, he's dead cap for the 2 void years, yeah.
That's wild to begin with. Yeah. But then what?
But yeah,
you've literally got an example in the building, Trey Lance, third pick in the draft, and he can't get a game.
Yeah.
He's literally, the alternative is in the building. You have got a third pick in the draft, and his team said no, and everybody else wasn't really too sure, and then we traded for him.
Terrible trade, by the way.
Well, that's
I'm on record as saying it.
Yeah.
Like that fourth round pick this year, there's so much on offer that would be miles better, even at quarterback, than Trey Lance. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a serious shout? Did the Cowboys want to find an absolute gem in Trey Lance and say, no, it's okay, Dak. You can get your money somewhere else. We're going to move on with Trey.
No. That is them moving towards the future from Cooper Rush. Because Cooper Rush isn't coming back. Cooper Rush was literally walking out of the door. The only reason he came back was because there's a freak weather occurrence as he was getting on the plane to get out of Dallas. Do you know what I mean? Not like that's why. Yeah. That's the only reason Cooper Rush is still here. He's only here because of a lightning strike. Literally.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Trey Lance, there are many who this offseason in Dallas and in Cowboys Nation who are going to big up Trey Lance so much. But the question is, you guys have rightly alluded to, we let Dak Prescott walk. Who's playing under center? Like, do we want to go back to the Quincy Carter, Chad Hennings?
Stop giving me PTSD.
You know, Ryan Leaf, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe. Do we want to go back to that?
Oh my God.
I saw another Ryan conversation. Leaf. Oh no.
I'm about to start crying.
Woo! You know, there was another kind of opinion question asked on Twitter. I'm trying to remember who it was from. But they basically said, in the playoffs, who do you trust more, Dak Prescott or
Josh Allen?
No, Ravens.
Lamar Jackson.
And people were saying, yeah, Lamar. Lamar Jackson. It's got to be Lamar Jackson. Got to be Lamar Jackson. You know, we should go after Jackson. No, you're not going after Jackson. Baltimore will never let Lamar Jackson out the door. That's the problem. Yeah. Baltimore will keep a hold of Jackson. The Chiefs will keep a hold of Mahomes. The Bills will keep a hold of Josh Allen. These guys don't walk because they are confirmed elite.
Mm-hmm.
So you're never going to get better than Dak Prescott without drafting somebody.
Yeah.
And that, like we all say all the time, but particularly Paul, it's a complete lottery. Brock Purdy.
It is. You don't know how it's going to translate. Yeah.
Brock Purdy being the absolute cornerstone for that state. Mr. Irrelevant is playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well,
what about
he's playing in the Super Bowl on a very good team, yeah.
You know, I mean, Dak himself.
Trey Lance isn't.
Fourth round compensatory pick wasn't supposed to be here. Was fourth behind Jameel Showers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, who's no longer in the league.
Yeah, you know,
the only reason Dak got to where he was because of a DUI.
Yeah, yeah,
but he is He is a very, very, very capable quarterback, and they can win a Super Bowl with Prescott.
Brock Purdy proves that.
Whilst that is the case, they have got to stick with him. I know it's sour. I know we're fed up with it. But newsflash, 30 other teams in the league have the exact same story this year. They didn't make it. They didn't make it. And the post-mortem starts for everybody at some point, whether it be week 17, whether it be the championship game. Where did we go wrong? And we have the Cowboys under the microscope because we're Cowboys fans, but every fan around the league, unless you're a Chief or a 49er, they're doing the exact same thing.
And you just go back and look. Like, people argue about this with quarterbacks in the Super Bowl and everything, and I say to them, I'm just like, name me every Super Bowl winning quarterback in the league right now.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, and there's one other.
Russell Wilson, who may not have a job by the end of the month.
You know, Joe Flacco's only in because of a freak occurrence.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers.
I mean,
is Aaron Rodgers, you can't really say, all right, he's on a roster. He is the starting, but he didn't start this year. But yeah, do you see what I mean? It's like there's only two quarterbacks every year that go to the Super Bowl. So are we to say there's 30 teams that need to release their quarterback? Because that's what the Cowboys are saying.
Exactly.
So the Cowboys are saying, get rid of Dak because we can't get to a Super Bowl with them. All right, there's 30 other teams. Do they need to do the same thing?
Yeah.
It's reality. It's not Madden.
And, like, the point, and Mike, you make this consistently, is what's Josh Allen's playoff record?
Oh, I know. 1-5.
1-5. Dak Prescott, 2-5. You know, everybody loves to say Josh Allen's elite. Playoff record doesn't suggest it.
Nope. And nobody talks about it.
If I asked you five teams who would love Dak Prescott, I'm sure either of you could answer me straight off the bat. I mean, there's two in the division. The Giants, and the Commanders would love to have Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Bears, definitely. I would say Seattle would have him.
Browns,
yeah.
Browns would have him. There's a whole bunch.
Vikings,
maybe. I don't know. Yeah, they might, depending on what they want to do, a quarterback. Arizona.
Mm.
Like, they don't know what they want to do. There's any number.
It wouldn't take him long to find a starting job.
No, absolutely not. No. For the money he wanted as well.
Yeah. Mm.
He'll get his 56, 57 million from somebody.
Probably more, because he'd be in a bidding war.
Ooh, here's an interesting one, and I'm going to throw it to you, gents. From Joe, would you straight up trade Dak Prescott for Justin Fields?
No.
I believe that Justin Fields will get traded during the draft. I think somebody will give up a second, third round pick for Justin Fields and try and make it work. They'll try and get into the top 10 to get one of the guys, but I reckon somebody will miss out. I'm looking at the Titans or somebody of that caliber. Yeah. They would easily give up a second round pick just to see what they could get out of Justin Fields. Because I think the Bears will stay home and go quarterback first overall. Not quite sure who it is, but I'm sure they'll do it because, like they say in the league, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning anything.
No, and so, I mean, like, there's a double-edged sword to that question too, because obviously Dak has a no-trade clause in his contract, so he'd have to be willing to waiver that to move, which I don't think he will.
No, he won't. Because if he doesn't, he can have the pick of the crowd. Yeah.
There's that. There's a whole bunch. There's a whole multitude of reasons why he wouldn't.
I don't want to turn it into the Bears podcast, but what do you think the Bears will do at one? If it was me, I would trade it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. They
need more than quarterback.
And I think in some respects, Fields isn't getting the help he needs. Like, if you give Fields a little bit more help over there, you might get a different result from him.
Yeah.
But I don't know who it is, but the Bears GM is under pressure. He's up against Love. He's up against
Cousins.
He's up against
Goff.
Oh, Goff, who's just played in the championship game. They need a quarterback. And Justin Fields. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for Justin Fields.
Oh yeah,
thrown out the deep end. Hugely overrated line. They've only just got a weapon in this year's draft. You know, wouldn't Justin Fields love to have a left tackle and a shiny new wide receiver? Think what that would do for him. But he won't get the chance
because he doesn't have the help there at all, and that's why people are saying, "Oh, yeah, they should draft, say, Caleb Williams." And they're like, "There we go." And it's like, "Well, Caleb Williams, in some respects, has a lot of Justin Fields in him, you know, in that that ability to stretch plays and play out of structure. They're very similar in that sense." And you're just like, "You're not getting better. You're just exchanging the blame. You're just moving the blame to a different area, to a different part of what you're doing. So then all you're doing is you bought time. You haven't bought wins, which is what you're trying to do. Like you say, weapons. Where are they? Who are they? There aren't none. You know, offensive line.
Here's the thing, and just hear me out for a second on this one, right? The Chicago Bears in the last couple of drafts have spent heavily on their offensive line. They brought in Darnell Wright last year. The year before, they brought in the guy from Oklahoma State, Mike. I cannot think of his name, so if you know it, say it. Where's the glasses? I know. I just cannot think of his name right now. Is it just a case the teams just draft badly? And the Chicago Bears are an example of that.
Yeah. Of just taking high-value guys and just hoping that it'll piece together sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, with no real plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can be case. It happens.
Yeah. Oh, you obviously know the Bears better than I do, Brian. I could not have told you that the Bears have spent heavily on offensive line. Because So they've taken Darnell Wright last year, obviously, as you said. And then the year before that.
Tevin Jenkins, that's who I'm trying to think of.
Zach Thomas.
Yeah.
Doug Kramer.
He's not bad.
Yeah. Jatire Carter.
But again, it's just piecing things together, like throwing things at the wall and hoping it'll stick, which kind of is what it is really with the draft, as you mentioned. But you still need to have a plan. And, you know, it could be a case of not so much drafting bad, but it could be a case of not having a plan once those players are in the building. Because you can draft good players, but you've got to coach them right. You've got to elevate them. You know, and if they're not, then the whole process was futile. Remove that.
But I suppose we're nearly 40 minutes into this show, and we were supposed to talk about the offensive line, but I mean, I think we might save that for another day. At this,
if we want, man.
I think we're all still a bit fired up about 2 weeks ago, really, aren't we?
We are. And like, it was a question I did want to talk to you guys about on that show after the defeat to the Green Bay Packers. You know, this most recent draft class has been quite disappointing. And it very obviously is, it's too early to judge the draft class. You want to give them the second year, the third year to develop, to come up to speed. But I mean, if you look at what Will McClay does, it seems to be a case of 1 year's good, 1 year's not great, and then it's back to good again. You know, that you get, say, a couple of players in a draft class. You know, obviously, look, the shining example was 2016 when you had Zeke, you had Dak, you had Anthony Brown, you guys who made impact everywhere in that team. Jalen Smith, of course, for a number of years before he went off a cliff.
Mm.
You know, it seems to be a case that it should be a better draft class in the upcoming one from Will McClay.
I don't think they are looking to look for the slow burners in this draft.
Yeah.
It's going to be blue collar guys that are going to come in and make an impact. So just be prepared for it. So like some people always say, like, oh, you know, how the Cowboys draft. Generally, the first round, they do whatever the hell they like. And they're not afraid to go ahead and go against the grain. Yeah. And they will completely surprise you in the first round. One season is take Travis Frederick, who's a third rounder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few years down the line, CeeDee Lamb is falling to you when they've got two wide receivers who just had a 1,000-yard season. And they just go, yeah, no, we're going to take best player available, which is a good plan, which is, I think, when it comes to the first round, you really can't put much thought into it. It should just be whoever is the highest graded guy on your board, no matter what the position, just take that guy. Does not matter. Yeah. Just that's the first round idea. You know, that's why they say first round's for the fans. I don't think they're going to do is what they've done in years past with, like, the second-round pick. The second-round pick for Will McClay has always been confusing to me. Sam Williams, it was a bit of a different feel to it. But you think, like you say, you mentioned one guy, Jalen Smith. He was a guy who wasn't going to play for you for at least a year and a half because of the injury. You knew that. You know, another year, it's who's the defensive tackle? I forget his name. He was our first pick, and we spent the first one traded to Amari Cooper. Tristan Hill. You know, these are the sort. Yeah, do you know what I mean? You know, Luke Schoonmaker. People are complaining about that because he didn't make much of an impact last year. So,
you said the magic word.
These are those second round picks, like even
going to the Pro Bowl. Don't need to make a
You know, I mean, like you could even go as far to say Trayvon Diggs. You know, he's worked out by all means, but he was a massive pump because he'd only played cornerback for 1 year for Alabama. He played wide receiver before that, so you're literally going off 1 year in the hope that it's gonna. So that was always been. So I don't think that this year they're gonna have that same policy going into their second round pick. It's gonna be. First round, I feel, is going to be BPA. The second round is going to be like, right, who's this? The highest guy, who's the highest graded guy out of these certain positions, and they're just going to go and grab him. They're not going to mess around with that second round pick.
I don't think they can afford to mess around,
given
the history of the last couple of years. Luke Schoonmaker, Sam Williams, Kelvin Joseph.
There you go.
Your last worthwhile second-round pick was Trayvon Diggs. You've Tristan Hill the year before that, Connor Williams the year before that.
Which wasn't a bad pick, I will say. Connor Williams, I was okay with. Out of
seven picks, you've hit on two.
Mm.
That's not good enough.
Not for your second-round pick, no. You know, when you think generally first-rounders are going to come in and make an impact, right? That's how you look at it. They're plug-and-play guys.
Usually.
Usually, yeah, you know, I mean, there's a few. I would still hold fire on Mazi because that improved as the season got on. Yeah. Not not drastically, but I think that this year you're going to see a different Maz, or next season you're going to see a different Maz. But, you know, I think generally, yeah, you know, like, so your first round of plug and play. So the big bulk, really, of where teams, and if you ever look at teams that are going deep into the playoffs, is usually those second to fifth round guys. That's like the bulk of the teams, or not the bulk, but that needs to be the bulk of a team's draft, where these guys are making an impact. And it's no surprise that the teams that go into the playoffs and have a deeper, have got a rookie class that are playing really well. And these guys tend to be in day two and early day three.
Mm-hmm.
They're the important ones.
You think, oh, second round pick, right? Okay, cool. But in theory, they are still taking the 56th best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
it's time to stop messing around with that.
And definitely.
Somebody that's minimum red flags, at least. I mean, if you're in the second round, there's either a question mark, there's an injury, or there's a red flag. Let's just go with a question mark for a while. You know, like, can this be improved by coaching once he becomes a full-time NFL player? Let's go with that for a change. Cut out the flags and the injuries.
Use the good one that I got taught, and I know you like this one, Graham, and it was in a seminar and a teaching conference that I was in on, like, you know, like, draft philosophies. And the good one I heard is second round players should be viewed as first round players that didn't get picked.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I was just that's bang on. You know, that's the way to do it. So don't play with your, don't mess around with your food, basically, when it comes to your second round pick. Because they're the first round guys that just so happen to not get picked.
I mean, if you're the Panthers at 33, you have 12 hours to get that pick right. You know, as soon as the draft finishes, your guys are back into their notes. Who's still there? Who can we get? Yeah. Who can we get on the phone? Can we double check something? You've got so much time to get that pick right.
Yeah, well, the Bears are on the clock right now, mate.
Of course,
And they got months.
And there's no sign of them getting it right either.
their draft history would suggest they will not get it right. If they trade out of it, it would suggest they still won't get it right.
If they trade out of it, they're not going quarterback, basically.
Yeah.
But how happy though would Justin Fields be if Marvin Harrison Jr. walks through the door?
He's my number one player.
He would be delighted. Can you imagine?
He's my number one player in this year's draft.
Listen, Justin, we've done you wrong. Here's a shiny new receiver to put opposite Moore.
Slam down.
That's a one-two punch. Yeah. Can you think about it?
Marvin Harrison Jr., you've got to understand what a freak athlete and wide receiver he is. Like, the numbers are down this year, but that's not down to him. That's down to his offense. Like, Ohio State, not last season, but the season before, they're winning the conference championship if Marvin Harrison doesn't get concussed.
Mm.
He gets a concussion and that the offense just falls flat on his face and they can't recover and it goes out the window. If he's in that game, because he's Marvin, they win. And the Buckeyes have an eye under their belt. That's how much of an impact player he is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to throw out a scenario to you gentlemen. Mm. And I think you can already guess what I'm going to say. The Dallas Cowboys get on the clock at 24.
Mm.
And you have your choice of Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., or Bo Nix available to you. Do the Cowboys take a quarterback?
No, I'd trade out at that point. Honestly, I'm trading down. If those three quarterbacks, they're right there, I'm going, oh, wow, something. Because for one thing, that means some of the players, like offensive linemen,
Yeah.
And defensive linemen have got to have come off the board in that case. Yeah. So that means the things that the Cowboys need are off, and the things the Cowboys don't need are on the board. So especially with quarterback, and there's so many teams that are quarterback needy, I'd just be like, right, let's trade out of this, because we are getting we're getting the absolute choice here. Like, you could trade so much. You could even trade out of the second at that into the, you know, out of the first and into the second with an early second round pick, and still get the guys you want and get an absolute ton. Now, they wouldn't do that because Jerry misses out on his fifth year option, but that would be the sort of thing that could happen there, because the amount of value you get from that point would be insane. Because all three of those quarterbacks are getting drafted, so you know, between that pick and pick 32. So you're only talking like, well, so there's going to be like seven guys. And if people start coming off your board, you trade back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
You better make damn sure that Dak Prescott is extended before you do it. And I'll also answer that question with another scenario. Jordan Love went 26th overall.
Mm. Yeah.
So instead of getting Dak some help, you've got him a hindrance.
Yeah. And you'd be sending a message as well, you know, that isn't good. That isn't good.
Yeah. Oh. You know, like, we're meant to be on the cusp of being a Super Bowl team, a championship team. Mm-hmm. And God knows how many years in a row we've heard that. Is that not the anti-message to go and take a quarterback at 24.
Like, think about this, right, Gray? Oh, sorry, Bright. Go on.
No, I was literally going to say, like, as Graham says, like, you know, do you want to do that? The Green Bay Packers are a perennial contender, and they did it. They've done it twice.
But, like, I mean, think about this, right? How crazy would it be to, like, have the quarterback... You'd have the quarterback that led the NFL in passing touchdowns. You have a quarterback on your team that led the NFL in passing touchdowns. And then you get to the draft and go, right, let's draft a quarterback. That would be the wildest. You're like, what? You got a guy that's leading the NFL. I get why people are worried about Dak Prescott. I get it. I do. I understand. But I think in some respects, although we're going off the last playoff game, you're using that as recency bias on how Dak plays. And that, like, that was a bad game, but it was a bad game for the entire team. And also, playoff wins and losses are made as a team. The same as wins and losses. So, like, we're saying, oh, you know, look at Dak Prescott. He couldn't win in the game. He can't win in playoffs. Well, okay, yeah. Dak Prescott was a problem in the game. He wasn't the problem, though. He wasn't the problem. He wasn't the reason the Cowboys lost that game.
Yeah.
You know, like, like, the defense has a lot to answer for that game. But we don't sit there. We don't sit here and go, oh, the Cowboys' defense are 1-5 or 2-5 in the playoffs. We just look at the quarterback and go, there we go. Although the quarterback is only on the field for 30% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's the best Dak positive argument that I've heard, that Dak didn't stop the Packers scoring on five consecutive possessions.
You know,
I get it. Dak had a horrible first quarter. Particularly bad first half, but the defense gave him absolutely no help whatsoever.
Nothing. Yeah. Like, nothing. They didn't even try.
The defensive line disappeared. The linebackers weren't getting to Jones. Jordan Love could pass to whoever he wanted. It was just horrible.
Gotta get pressure on. Like, I did a stat, and it's crazy that, like, the Cowboys were averaging at home They were allowing opponents to score an average of something like 17 points a game.
17, yeah. I think that's what you had.
And Jordan Love averages, he was averaging 17 points a game when he got sacked twice or more in a game last year. So you've got to put the pressure on. So you put the pressure on and you think statistically everything matches up. Everything is aligning. Didn't get nothing. Got one pressure from Micah Parsons. Not that it's Micah Parsons' fault. And people are like saying, does Micah Parsons have a playoff issue? No, the game was a team issue. It was an issue as a team. That's why they you lose as a team and win as a team. And it was just bad. I mean, look, put it this way. Things got so bad, Brandon Aubrey missed an extra point. Do you know what I mean? You know, like the entire team fell apart. They lost as they literally did lose as a team. And
yeah,
as good as the Cowboys team, the roster is, it's a team that it has to smell blood in the water first, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it smells blood in the water, that's it. It's game over. And you've seen it last season time and time again where it might be like it's the end of the first quarter. The Cowboys are winning 7-3. Gets to halftime and it's like 27-3. Because as soon as they smell blood in the water, it's gone. And the game is over, and they will hold that lead and they'll keep it. That's what they're good at. But what happened with the Packers is they just said, just go out there and attack. Don't give them an inch because they'll take a mile and just attack at them. Just go, you know, the old Navy saying, go straight at them. And that is what they did. And it shocked the Cowboys so much that you can't recover from that because they're not built that way. And that is what they did. And the defense was shocked, the offense couldn't recover. And bring it back. And that's not completely on Dak. Yeah, okay, bringing the offense back into the game is on Dak, which he kind of did in a roundabout loop sort of way. But to turn around and say, does Dak have a playoff problem? You kind of like go, well, no, does Dak have a playoff problem? The Cowboys team has a playoff problem.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
And we've Cowboys Nation has had that rant, Mike, for the past, 7-8 years?
Longer. Yeah. Well, like, I mean, he is what I said. We was with Cal Jones last week because I had this question in the mailbag and I pitched it to Yeomans, my answer, right? The question was, why do the Cowboys keep losing in the playoffs? And I said, it's the giant monkey on their back. That it was before Dak. It was before Mike McCarthy. It was into Romo's era. And before that, too, in the sort of almost way. That what happens is the Cowboys go into the playoffs and they bounce straight out. The next year, they have another big season. They go into the playoffs. They bounce right out. Now there's pressure on them. And there's a narrative of they can't win in the playoffs. So with each consecutive time that happens, the monkey grows bigger, which means it gets a little harder. And like I was saying, the Lions are an example of that, right? That they almost got to the Super Bowl if it wasn't for some weird coaching calls. But the reason that they got there and they were playing that way is they shook the monkey off their back. That once they got to the NFC champions, Detroit and Detroit fans are already treating them like champions because they're already gone beyond expectations and they've already breezed past the issue that's been always on them, which is they can't win in the playoffs. Once you start going down the road of winning playoff games, that monkey's now off your back. And that's why they were playing the way that they were playing. They were playing like champions because they felt like it, because they got that monkey off their shoulders. The same thing will happen with Dallas. But what they've got to do is they've got to win playoff games. But, like, I have no doubt next year that if Detroit get into the playoffs again, they go on another deep run because the pressure's off them. They don't have the thought and the idea and the stories and the words spoken about them that they can't win in the playoffs because they've proven that they can. And then once Dallas proves that they can, all of a sudden opinions changed and all of a sudden the pressure's off. They go to an NFC championship game. Look, we're at an NFC championship game. It has the reverse effect of what it's like for the opponent. So, like, say, for instance, that the 49ers and the Lions game, the pressure's on the 49ers. They're supposed to win that game. So they're thinking, God, we can't mess this up. Where the Lions are sitting there, winning at halftime, going, we're champions already. We are going further than anyone ever expected us to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, takes with Dallas. Go on, sorry, mate.
I mean, the counter of that for me would be, and like, I'm not trying to argue that this.
No, you're all right. You're all right.
Is, you know, we've heard this narrative for 20 years plus. You know, it's, we get to the playoffs, and it's very simply a case of this team gets a punch in the mouth and does not know how to answer. There was a statistic shown during the game, during the playoff game, which said when the Cowboys score first, they were 10-0 that this past season. When they conceded first, they were 2-5. There's a mentality within this team across the season that when they get punched in the mouth, they don't know what to do. And teams know that, because that's why they always try and take the ball for the first possession, is, as you say, get that field goal or get that touchdown. And, you know, they have a lead, they can start building off that. It's the thing of playing from behind is an issue. Because, as you say, the defense starts falling asunder. They love to pin their ears back when we're ahead, but they can't defend from when we're behind.
I like defensive mentality, Brian.
Yeah.
Cowboys, 9 Pro Bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
How many Pro Bowlers did the Lions have? How many Pro Bowlers did the Packers have?
2. No, Packers had 0.
Packers had none.
Yeah. Lions had 2.
Yeah, I'm getting that. Hungry players.
Yeah.
No, I meant, like, When I was walking around the star, you are showered in past glories. You know, Super Bowls here.
Yeah. Old pictures.
The amount of Pro Bowlers over there.
Yeah.
You know, award-winning Cowboys like Witten and Staubach and the greatest play and the Hail Mary and so on. And I was wondering around thinking, the current team haven't earned any of this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at? It's like there's 5 Super Bowl trophies at the top of the stairs. None of them are yours.
Nah.
No. So let's take them away for a bit and live in reality for a little while and see what changes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just. I think that you put the point up on Twitter, Mike. No Pro Bowlers on the Packers roster, and they punched us in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know, popularity is nothing. And I just wonder if there's one too many players on this current team who don't have the fire anymore.
Yeah, I think, right, Greg?
Maybe that's our issue.
No. Mm-hmm. So I think the is. And like people say, oh, Jerry's the issue. Well, you just made the counter argument to Jerry being the issue. It's like, is Jerry really the issue? Because last time I checked, I walked around a building that cost billions of dollars just to make his team better, to give them a better practice facility. You know, you've seen the gym, you've seen the facilities. It's right up there. They go, their practice second facility has different second types of It's got different types of surfaces for them to play on. Depending on the opponent they're about to play, they have a classroom where they go and learn plays, and then they've got out the front a small 20-yard pitch where they'll then practice that play and go back to the classroom. It's wild. It's everything's, you know, the place has got iPads just falling out the wall at you. You know, there's just that much. You know, they have all these massive dietary programs on this. You know, with all these super chefs and so. You mean to tell me Jerry's gone and done all of this, and all, it's all the little details, the tiny details. He's gone right down to the finest detail to make sure that the players and the team get all the right support and everything. That they, but mm-hmm. you want to blame Jerry. Okay. Well, you just said, so where does the problem come from? And to me, the problem is that they had 9 All-Pro, 7 Pro Bowl players mm-hmm. in and they got beaten by a team with 0 Pro Bowl players. Well, that's coaching. That's not players. I don't think it's the mm-hmm. players that are at fault there. That has to be coaching. If you've got some of the best players on your team and you cannot beat a team that has 0 Pro Bowl players, then that has to be the coach. It's not the players. The coach has done something wrong, mm-hmm. or the coaching staff in general. So that's what you get blamed to on that one. That for me, yeah. is where I look at.
I mean, is there a case where it's like, well, it wasn't my fault, I'm a Pro Bowler. Well, it wasn't my fault, I'm a Pro Bowler. Can't be my fault, I'm a Pro Bowler. Well, it's not my fault either, I'm a Pro Bowler. Well, guys, it's got to be someday.
Here's the thing. I just want to make two quick points and I'll give it back to you guys, right? The last time I checked, Jerry Jones has never taken a snap for the Dallas
Cowboys. Yeah, he's never called a play, yeah.
And secondly, right, in 1992, the Dallas Cowboys had no Pro Bowlers or All Pros on their number one ranked defense. And that defense used it as fuel. And it feeds into the point that Graham makes in terms of, well, I'm an All Pro, so it can't be my fault. You know?
But in saying that, though, to Mike's point, Dan Quinn hasn't been hired yet. Why?
Yeah. Recency bias. That's the last point.
You know, that when it all matters in January, it all falls down. Atlanta, this season, last season, you know,
season before.
To Mike's point, you know, the coaches have to take their lumps as well.
Mostly. It has to fall mostly on the coaches. Now, we can say, oh, well, the coaches can't make them execute. Well, yeah, but it was the game plan and the game. So, if it goes wrong from the start, the game plan is wrong, right? Because you can evolve the game as the game goes on and you can adjust. If that you're getting beaten from the off, that means your game plan to start off with that you prepared the team for the first drive has fallen apart. You know, Dan Quinn, a lot of the blame for me, especially when you look at playing zone in dime package for so many plays makes zero sense to me. We didn't do that all season. And then all of a sudden we get to the playoffs and that's what we're doing. You're just like, eh? You know that you've got to get pressure on, and he's developing plays that really he was doing it in a way to create a soft pocket for Jordan Love so he couldn't run and escape. But you create no pressure as a result.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it to catch him out? When in fact it backfired and Jordan Love absolutely loved it. He's thrown all over the field.
That's why he had so much time. That's why, because they were just, it's not that the Cowboys defensive line wasn't getting pressure, but they wasn't. But it was down to a schematic choice by the coach. But then at the same time, if you're able to see this and you're Mike McCarthy, you should be on the microphone and go, mate, this ain't working. Let's change it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And not only did Mike McCarthy not do that, he continued to watch it and let it advance. And then just the Cowboys would go down and score a touchdown. And you think there's a chance here, but the chance was zero because the defense just came on the field 4 plays and it's a touchdown. And you're like, well, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, I don't know what you guys think, right? I think Dan Quinn is back next year. I really do. I think he's back.
Yeah.
He's right now. He was at the Shrine Bowl practices yesterday in Cowboys gear. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not going to be at the Shrine Bowl evaluating prospects for a defense he's not coaching.
No.
And that's in both senses. You know, he's not going to be there evaluating the players that he needs for his defense in Dallas if he's not in Dallas. But if he's not in mm-hmm. Dallas and he's somewhere else, how's he able to evaluate them if he's not there? Plus, he's not even – he's in Cowboys uniform, which tells me when I look at that, I'm like,
yeah.
He's in Dallas then. He's staying. Yeah. He's in the uniform yeah. because that's the team he's coaching.
If he was gonna go to Seattle, he would have gone by now.
Oh yeah, that's done. That was a done deal straight away. That was the first slam dunk.
Yeah,
and the only real one I can think of, unless you guys have got another one, is the Commanders.
I don't think he's in the running for that at all.
No, I mean, are there any more?
I will tell you one thing. Jerry would never allow it anyway. If he turned around and said, oh, I'm going to go to the Commanders, Jerry go, I'll double your pay.
Yeah.
He won't let another – Callum Moore's a different cutler fish because he wasn't on the Cowboys.
I mean, it's hardly the biggest carrot with Sam Howell, is it?
Yeah.
He's
got no say in Callum Moore because he wasn't on his staff. But I think if it was, it would be like, no. You can stay here, then go to a team.
I mean, here's the question I'm gonna pose to both of you, right? And this is post free agency, it's post the draft, post the preseason. The Cowboys get off to a poor start in 2024. I mean, are you not effectively snookering yourself because you've changed nothing? In the offseason, you've taken a 48-32 pasting at home. And you're trying to sell a fan base on the fact we've changed nothing. You know,
but that's,
I mean, how do they expect us to get behind them?
For me, that's part of the problem, though. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you the last time AT&T didn't sell out.
Yeah.
And so long as the stadium's full, the pro shop's selling well, and everybody's talking about them, it's not going to make anybody do anything rash. I mean, you might see, if it's particularly bad, you might see Dan Quinn take over as head coach, if he's still there. But it's not going to be anything more drastic than that, I don't think.
Yeah. I'm with him.
I mean, if things are going bad, how can you turn around and appoint Dan Quinn? Because obviously the defense isn't playing well. I mean,
for the simple fact they just put Garrett in. They put Jason Garrett in.
Is Garrett going to leave the booth?
No, I mean like that's how Jason Garrett got his shot. Head coach, it's next man up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had Garrett in the building for a few years. You know, like they've given Mike McCarthy free reign to bring in who he wants. These are all Mike McCarthy guys that are around this team. And if they're not a Mike McCarthy guy, they're a Dan Quinn guy. And that's the concern I have with the current setup of the coaching roster.
To go back to your original question, Brian, I don't think we will have a poor start to the season.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's fair.
That's the way it's played out for the past
3 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
The worst they'll do is go 2-2.
Which is fine.
Absolute bottom of the barrel, they'll go 2-2 and they'll be 500. It's not going to be 1-3, and it's not going to be 0-4.
When do you think they'll have the Giants first, mate? So there's.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's a leg up, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. but you get what I mean, though. Like, it's never horrendous. It's always. I mean, we'll have our bump. Don't get me wrong. We always have our bump. I mean, last year we lost to the Cardinals, and the sky was falling. You know, like they will have their bump like they do every year, but so does everybody. But I think they'll have a winning season next year. Whether they win the division or not is another question. But I can guarantee you right now, the Cowboys will be at least
9-11 and 6.
Yeah. No, I would say they'll have at least 9 wins.
Yeah.
At least 9 wins and have a good shot at the playoffs. Because it's a talented team.
Yeah.
It's January that's the problem. Not October or September. It's January.
Yeah.
And it's the same. We've been watching the same play. We've been watching the same stage show for years. But no, that's the ridiculous thing. Again, it's happened and we're not very happy about it. But I tell you what, at least 15 teams in the league would swap us their situation for it. Telling you.
Oh, Mike McCarthy's getting employed after this, without a doubt. Oh, when you go,
absolutely.
You go, absolutely. He's 12-5 3 years in a row. You know?
Yep.
Dan Quinn imagine being the Browns.
I mean, yeah. I mean, hopefully, do you know, the Browns are starting to turn a corner, I would say.
They are.
They're starting to turn a corner, but
the Bears.
You always have the get to bed early on the first draft night. You know, the Bears fans get to bed early. The Jets fans get to bed early. The Falcons fans get to bed early. Commanders. Why? Because they're always picking in the top 10. It's as simple as they're always there. We're in between a rock and a hard place right now. Like I said, I don't know, was it week 16, 17? There's awful teams, there's poor teams, there's average teams, there's above average teams, the Cowboys, and then Super Bowl contenders. And we've been in that rut.
In the Cowboys, then.
Yeah. We've been in that rut for 10 years. We're always above average. We're always well above average. It's that glass ceiling. See the glass ceiling that's right there? We've been banging our head on it for the past 10 years. Oh. It's hard work.
I'm with you, mate.
So I hope everyone is better educated on who we're going to draft off an offensive line tonight.
It's not going to happen. It's going to be Jonathan Brooks, and we'll get to bed early.
God, please.
Yeah, we need offensive line. We need offensive line. No, well, give me a receiver or a running back. Not interested in the offensive line.
I
that needs a new shiny toy
this year, and generally, that's not the direction they go in. So, you should be in luck this year, Greg.
Yeah, I doubt after what happened, like with the whole way the Zeke situation went, I don't see them ever drafting a running back in the first round again.
Third, fourth round at the earliest.
Right, I don't know
how it's going to ever go now, you know?
As a rookie for the kind of... I see myself as a rookie for the 2024 draft class. I've got a couple of quick-fire questions for you. Just for the way their fan base is watching. First running back off the board and when?
Trey Benson in the second round early.
I'll say Jonathan Brooks mid-second.
The injury is going to put people off.
Yeah.
Wide receivers available 24 and lower.
Or Duns? Or will he be gone, Mike?
Oh, I think he'd be gone. Yeah. You're looking past him, like Leggett.
Johnny Wilson?
He's really on fire at the moment.
Yeah.
In the senior bowl practice today, he's been on fire.
Yeah.
And last
you one, want a guy, you want a guy to take the top off at defense. Johnny Wilson is your guy.
But see, the Cowboys don't pick; they don't take those.
They don't take burners. Yeah,
yeah.
And last one, how many first round quarterbacks?
4.
I think 3. I think 3. Yeah. Okay. Has Caleb actually declared yet?
Yeah, I think he has. I think, hold on.
Because I mean, that's going to hold up a lot of things. I'm not sure if he has, Mike.
But I think it's just assumed that he's going to mind.
Yeah. I mean, him, Drake May, are definitely going. And then it just depends. Like, I think the Vikings could go for a quarterback this year. I really think they could. And then you're looking at teams around the league who actually need quarterbacks. The Denver Broncos need a quarterback. Arizona might take a quarterback.
I think they will.
Titans might take a quarterback. So, you know, and I mean, the Titans have thrown a lot of crap at the wall to fix their quarterback position, and you're still not sure who's going to quarterback them. The Falcons need a quarterback. You know, so the six, seven teams there that need to do something. Some of them will address it through free agency, but you could see five.
You could see five. You could say, I think it'll be four, but you get, and when you say there's five, are there five first round quarterbacks in this draft? Yes.
No.
I think there is.
Did you say there's five?
Ooh. Yeah.
I would go Caleb.
Yeah.
Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Penix, and Bo Nix. But Bo Nix is right at the bottom of the first round. Like, he's almost the cheap number, the 1-2.
He's your 1-2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question I have for you, Mike, because I know you have your board pretty much done at this stage, right? How many first round grades have you?
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
You haven't got
I will that. Get you on that one. I'm going off what I've done so far, I'll tell you now what I think.
You've still got the combine and that to go, though, surely. Yeah. The players always rise and fall during that, don't they?
Some of them will.
You have to be aware of the gym, the Olymp. Yeah. What is it? The gym slip gymnastics or fucking Olympics or whatever it is. I can't.
Oh, the underwear
Olympics.
The underwear Olympics.
You know. That's like, you will have guys rising left, right, and center because they have great combine numbers. I think it's the one thing with Mike haven't done the Scouting Academy. It's to actually trust the tape, trust what you see with your eyes, rather than what someone can do without a pair of shoulder pads on.
And who goes off the board first? An Aggie or a Longhorn?
I think a Longhorn this year.
Yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, it'd be a long one. They actually got quite a good draft class.
Right. Yeah, it's the first time in 10 or 12 years where the Longhorns have had better prospects than the Aggies in the draft.
Yeah, got quite a stacked little
grouping
going on.
And the thing is, the Longhorns still have of the four teams played in the college playoffs. They have the most. Starters returning. They've 14 returning, whereas I think Michigan only have three or four. Mike, am I right on that?
Michigan's
offensive line is going. Yeah,
there's a lot that's left Michigan big time. Another reason why Shanahan left. You know, he's left it like on a high.
Yeah,
knowing that he's got to reload a lot in there.
Yeah.
There's still quite a lot on Michigan, but they've got an absolute ton. Like, you know, like Florida State's another example of that.
Mm.
Like, they were a fringe college playoff team
next
year. Oof. Like, a lot of that team has left. But I'm just trying to go through it now, just like off my eye, Bri.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd say 22 first rounders, first round grades.
That's 22 ones or 22.
22-1.
Slightly twos.
Yeah, well, Bo Nix is 22.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's about the limit-ish.
Yeah. It's generally somewhere between 16 and
22. Yeah. Like, that's just off a guess. Like, until I start going through it, I'll need to... like, at this stage, I'm just putting them all into order.
Yeah.
I put them in order by the position first.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up for you both. Are you bringing back Stephon Gilmore?
Yes.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Gene?
So long as the money's not too silly.
Yeah.
Even at his age, he was excellent.
He did. He did everything that you needed. I'm like, you imagine this, right? I can make you. If people are like on the fence about the idea of Stephon Gilmore, I'll go, okay, Stephon Gilmore led the league in interceptions. Trayvon Diggs led the league in interceptions. Jaron Bland has led the league in interceptions. Now you can have all three of those players on one team.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. You don't need to go any further.
This is what I don't get, though, right? You've got the Commanders sitting there with $73 million in cap space. Why are they not just going to all the Super Bowl contenders, the playoff teams, and going, right, we're having him, you know, and just like any offer you get, we'll beat it by $1 million. Let us know when you're coming. Just $73 million in cap space. Really?
But this is the thing, G, as I kind of said earlier about the Bears not drafting well. The same teams tend to always pop up with huge free agency cap issues. The Commanders, they are always in there. And then on the other side of it, the Saints are always in hell at this time of the year. About 80 million over the cap, I think they are.
83 million.
Well, they were the same last year.
They bring it back in. You know, so the cap is a myth. It's an accounting item. You know, it's not real. Like, it's simply the fact of, and this is where Jerry does things an awful lot better. And you'll hear this around the league. When you guarantee a guy's money, you have to put that money into an escrow account.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's there, right? So Jerry has no issue with putting all of that guaranteed money into escrow accounts. The Cincinnati Bengals are known around the league as being a cheap organization because they refuse to have that much guaranteed money. The Indianapolis Colts are well renowned for doing it as well. So teams like that generally tend to have a lot of cap space because they don't have a huge amount of guaranteed money. The Commanders were legendary for it.
Yeah, just like you say, Bengals and Colts.
And then they'll get rollover.
Just under $60 million each.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they get rollover as well then from the previous season. And I think you can roll it for, it's either three or four seasons. I forget which.
Yeah. Because I think the Cowboys were rolling over at least $7 or $8 million this season.
Yeah.
But what's the common denominator? They're all picking in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Money talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's another good reason why the Cowboys will never, you know, you say Cowboys are the above average team. They're the above average team because they have the money. They've got the cash. Like, if you were picking in the top 10 and you've just walked around the Star in Frisco, right, Greg? You've seen how much money, like the Frisco area in itself, like they just spent money there in general. Yeah. The Cowboys, they spent billions in there. Like, you imagine spending that amount of money and then going like, we can't even, with all these facilities and all these materials and what we've got here, we can't be, we're picking top 10 in the draft. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? It's just impossible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, gentlemen, I think we've gone for an hour and a half. We've talked extensively about Olu Fashanu, about Joe Alt. We've told you about Taliesa Fuaga, J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims. I mean, you know everything you need to know about all of these guys.
Yeah. What we've done is whinge for an hour and a half.
What will say, Brian, my boy Penny Sewell went to the championship game.
He did. Yeah. And did you notice, Mike? I think you did this. Mike went out and got you Mekhi Becton in the off season.
Ah, yeah,
my boy.
The Jets will give in on that one.
Yeah.
Yep. Move Smith. Yep. Keep Smith inside at guard.
Yeah.
Fortress Dallas.
Like, you know, and like people will argue about Becton, and I just think, like, it's the Jets. Do you know what I mean? Look at that entire offensive line is bunk. And you want to argue about Becton's issues. But Becton, like you say, next to Smith with a quarterback like Dak, mm-hmm. you get a different result.
Yeah. So, Mike, what are you guys doing in the show on Thursday night?
I don't know yet. It'll just be another it'll be another draft show. So we'll
talk. Tackle 2.0.
we'll talk about some guys in the Senior Bowl of interest, because the Senior Bowl's Saturday. So we'll talk specifically about some of the best players on the Cowboys radar at the Senior Bowl, the recent Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then next week, then we'll go over the ones that did play well, the Cowboys should consider.
Yeah. So what time are you guys back on Thursday night, Mike?
9 o'clock UK time.
Yes, absolutely. And before we get out of here, Graham, I'm going to get you to pay the bills.
So if you're planning on going to a 2024 Dallas Cowboys game, make sure you book up with Cowboys Experience. Had a quick check on the website. You can literally start your plans right now. You can jump on there and reserve your place. Obviously, we don't know the schedule, but you can certainly get your foot in for Giants, Commanders, Eagles. They're all coming to AT&T. Get your place in right now.
Absolutely. And as a final word, what would you gentlemen like to say?
Let's roll for the Senior Bowl.
The 2024 season starts now.
Dallas forever, folks. It's a good night for me.
See you later.